Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome leader, community builder, and culture creator, Natasha Hogan. Natasha is the Vice President of Marketing and Development for Dugally Oberfeld, a premier luxury home builder based in Los Angeles, California. In this episode, Natasha shares her journey in the luxury residential market and how she built a community along the way. We also discuss her passion for team culture and the impact that it has in the office and on the job site. Our conversation dives deep into the client experience and how working with a family of trusted partners can support and reinforce your dedication to service. Before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge our sponsors who help keep the information and inspiration coming week after week. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. I'm especially excited to announce the opening of their newest showroom in Mission Viejo and the upcoming grand opening of their showroom in the Laguna Design Center. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, our conversation with Natasha Hogan. So today, I have leader, community builder, and culture creator, Natasha Hogan with me. Thanks for joining us, Natasha.
Hello.
So good to have you. I've been really wanting to have this conversation, so I'm excited.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Well, we always start off the podcast by allowing you to kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and kind of your current role. So let's start there.
Okay. Well, a little about myself. I am married. I have 9-year-old twins and moved to Southern California about 10 years ago now, and have always worked in the luxury residential industry. Currently, I am VP of Marketing and Business Development with Dugally Oberfeld, which is a general contractor and developer with offices in Orange County and Los Angeles.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, spoiler alert.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about building a house today.
No, we are not.
You are so many more things than just construction, and I'm excited to talk about that. Tell us a little bit about your role at Dugally Oberfeld first, and then we can kind of backtrack and talk about how you kind of got to this place.
Sure, absolutely. So, obviously, with my title being marketing and business development, majority of what I am focused on is going out in the industry, making sure that we are collaborating with the right people in this industry. So getting to know the architects, the interior designers, the craftsmen, people that are really doing something special in luxury residential construction. So I work closely with a lot of architects mm-hmm. here in Orange County and in LA. Also really focused on the client interactions that we have. So when we have a new potential project, I'm meeting with our clients, talking with them, finding out, you know, what drives them, what type of experience they are looking for with building their dream home. And, you know, what is my biggest passion, I think, about in life in general, and then also with what I get to do at Dugally Oberfeld, mm-hmm. is the company culture aspect. Mm. So really focused on making sure that the people that are on our team are fulfilled, are excited to come to work today, making sure that the things that they're doing are what they want to be doing. And if it's something that we need to look at and pivot and help them find a different direction, supporting all of that. So finding the right people to come be on our team and then maintaining the best in class to have those people stay on our team.
Excellent. Excellent. I mean, relationships, community, and culture are so important in every aspect of the design business. And it's something that we haven't talked a whole lot about. So I want to dive in a little bit deeper into that. So not only do you spend time interacting with architects and clients and partners, but you also emphasize that you spend time within the office focusing on that culture. So, can you give us an example of something that you look for, like in an architectural firm, that's a telltale sign to you that they're a fit to work with? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, fortunately, where we live here in Southern California, you know, there is endless amounts of talent here, right? We've got incredible architects, incredible designers. This community is not short of having, you know, that level of, you know, just quality and creativity to be interacting with. But, you know, what I think is the best fit for us is people that are, you know, overall, like just have a passion for what they're doing, are happy about it, are wanting to be a part of, you refer to community all the time, you know, being a part of the team, helping, you know, make sure that every project that we are going to be working together on is the best possible scenario. Mm-hmm. And that, we just genuinely like each other, you know, because right. working in this industry, there's always going to be a challenge. There's going to be something that was delayed due to, you know, a million reasons.
Oh yeah. Emotions run high.
Right. you know, so we deal with delays, we deal with mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. So being surrounded by people, whether it's the architect or the interior designer, that are going to be supportive through the entire process and say, okay, team, let's figure out how to navigate through this together and make it the best experience possible. So,
right. And they have to be willing to kind of engage at that level, because you're right. There is there clearly there's no shortage of talent in general, but it's about, you know, attracting those people that you want to work with and that want to work with you, and creating that synergy that I talk about all the time. Whenever I talk with builders and designers and architects, that synergy, so that the client gets the best possible experience.
Right. You know, if everyone is like-minded mm-hmm. and is committed to an overall like best-in-class experience, I think that is going to be what the basis is for every decision made. Is, you know, the right choice to go with this manufacturer because it's going to be best-in-class experience? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Okay, yes, great, then this is the direction we take.
Right, and they can say that, but they also have to exhibit it. They have to demonstrate that.
Correct.
And I think it's important to invest extra time in determining that, which clearly is something that you do.
Yes, 100%.
And when it comes to like the inner office culture, what is one thing that you look for, you know, in a team member or something within your group that makes them a fit? Like, what do they have to bring to the table?
So when we are, you know, talking with somebody new, a potential employee, you know, there's really three things that I am always thinking about when I sit down and talk to them. Are they hungry? Are they humble? And are they smart? So hungry is, look, are they willing to do whatever it takes? Are they willing to say, you know what, maybe I'm not the person responsible for the administrative tasks here, but I'm willing to jump in and do that because I want to learn more. I want to do more. They're willing to constantly be, you know, engaging in whatever it is that's needed. And they're actively wanting to learn at all mm-hmm. times. Are they humble? Are they going to be somebody that you can sit down with and say, hey, you know what? The way things happened, today in such and such situation really wasn't the best way we probably could have handled it. Great, let's talk through it and be able to take that, you know, constructive criticism and be humble about when they make a mistake, or even better, come forward and say, look, I made a mistake here. How can I, you know, improve on this? How can we as a team work together to not let this happen again? Because not everybody is open to admitting when they make mistakes or hearing from others that they've made a mistake, right?
Yeah.
And then smart, I don't use that in the context of book smart. It's more emotionally smart, you know, and able to read a room, recognize when there's somebody there that is feeling extremely overwhelmed, or somebody that maybe is feeling like they don't belong in that space and they're, you know, having a hard time. Being able to connect with whoever it is that you are interacting with and make them feel good about why they're there and what they're doing. And just, again, going back to that experience, are they going to have the emotional smarts to make it better?
Emotional smarts. That's a good way of putting it, actually. No,
probably
seriously.
Not the best, most grammatically correct.
But I think that's a good description of what you're talking about, because, you know, it's more than just what's on paper. You know, yeah, you can be amazing at CAD and you can, you know, be an A+ student and check all of those boxes. But like you said, if you're not hungry, you know, then you're not, you know, you're missing that important component.
You don't have that desire to learn.
Yeah, it drives you and it affects everyone around you as well. And then, I mean, to be humble, you know, that is like, that's a learned behavior. You have to be in environments or in situations where that is exhibited and to learn how to emulate that. You know what I mean? And it's super, super important. I think it's so important that employers in general, but specifically within our industry, are placing an emphasis on these qualities when it comes to team members, and that they're also placing an emphasis on certain qualities when they're selecting who they want to work with when it comes to vendors and contractors and builders and architects. You know, it's like I said, there's no shortage of talent out there. It's a matter of who's a good fit for you.
Right. You know, finding those individuals that have the personality type or have just the things that you can't teach.
Right.
You know, I mean, we can all learn how to be better with Excel. We can all learn how to be, you know, better with CAD or, you know, BIM modeling or whatever it may be. There's technical skills that you can train. There's a process that you can train, but you can't train someone to be humble.
Right. Right. So true. So true. And going back to that fit. So once you've established a fit, once you have, you know, gathered these team members and these vendors that you are going to work with, what are some tips to retaining them? Because I think it's important for everyone listening to understand that if you're going to put this much effort into identifying a fit and going through the hungry, humble, smart process, you also have to place an emphasis and direct some energy to retaining them so that they stay.
Right. You know, I think a big thing that a lot of people make the assumption of is that we all do this for money, that people are motivated by money. And yes, some are, but there's a lot of other things that motivate people. So understanding, you know, hey, Rick, what are you motivated by? Are you motivated by helping others? Are you motivated by, you know, a certain type of result? Are you motivated by getting peer recognition? You know, understanding what is going to motivate somebody is, I think, really important to know. And I always ask that of the people I'm around, like, what motivates you? What makes you feel good? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Right.
You know, we all need to make money. You know, we all live, again, in Southern California, where it's not inexpensive to live here. So we need to get paid for what we do, but you also need to feel good about what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree, like, you know, if there's money attached to it, that's nice. But again, I feel like more people are having the conversation, and I'm glad that we're having the conversation about what really motivates people. Money may bring you to the table, but as far as retention, what's keeping you there?
It's that culture that you were referring to. Mm-hmm. It's that interaction. It's those learning opportunities, those opportunities to grow. I just feel like for the longest time, there's been so much, you know, a person is here and then he goes to that firm and then she goes to that firm and they're chasing the bigger number. And I think both the employer and the employee are kind of losing because neither of them are getting a long-term commitment from each other.
Right.
And it's just like this crazy cycle.
Well, and if you really connect with someone, you know, that's why we're all here mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, is to connect with others. That's what brings us purpose. That's what brings us meaning in our lives. So connecting with your staff and your team members and having fun together.
Yeah.
You know, we work really hard and oftentimes it can be really emotionally draining, you know? So if you can also have fun together is, I think, such an important thing to remember.
For sure. For sure. I mean, I think my advice to the listeners, and I think you would agree, is to, you know, really kind of take the money out of the equation just for a minute. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's be practical. And really just kind of ask yourself what it is that you want. What are those core qualities that you want as a team member, from an employee, as a, you know, industry partner who's going to collaborate with you on a project? You know, sometimes it's best to like take the money out of the equation and really just kind of evaluate what else everyone's bringing to the table and how that's going to make for the best possible experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when hiring also, you know, looking for people that are going to complement, you know, if you are the, you know, principal designer and it's your company and you're deciding, hey, I need to hire some new people. I need some help. Don't hire somebody that's exactly like you. Mm-hmm. Hire somebody that's going to complement you.
Right.
And help you, you know, in areas that aren't your strengths. Don't be threatened by that. Be drawn to that. Because that's just going to make your team stronger.
We're taking a quick break to recognize another one of our partners who helps keep the information and inspiration coming week after week. This podcast episode is sponsored by Design Manager, the design trade's most reliable project management, purchasing, and accounting platform. The business of design is complex and requires solutions developed specifically for our industry. Design Manager has invested decades responding to the needs of interior design professionals and continues to deliver innovative tools to manage your design business with efficiency and profitability in mind. Visit designmanager.com to start a free 30-day trial of the tool trusted by top interior design firms across the country.
At this point, we've established, you know, for everyone listening out there, I mean, they've learned already kind of that value of community and culture and really kind of community when it comes to surrounding themselves with industry partners and, you know, team members as well, and how that all works. And clearly that's a passion for you. Mm-hmm. Where did it stem from? How did you get here? Like,
how did I get here? Oh gosh. I don't know. I think it's just, you know, when people say they have a calling or they know what resonates with them. I love architecture. I love design. I love being exposed to that on a daily basis. And it's fun. I'm always curious about it. And I'm intrigued by when I go on a job site and see something that an architect has designed for us to build, like that I've never seen before.
Right.
So, but I've always wanted to be in this industry. I, you know, started selling ads in a magazine, you know, right out of college many years ago. And, that was really the first time I got exposed to luxury residential mm-hmm. and, seeing, you know, all the pretty pictures and all the finished product. And so moved though on from magazine sales to wanting to get more ingrained in the actual construction industry mm-hmm. and worked for a couple subcontractors that gave me even more access to on the job sites and working with different craftsmen and artists every day and you know, learning just more and more about this industry. Prior to working at Dugally Oberfeld, I worked for a technology integrator, called Kantara that is also here in Orange County. And, you know, that was a place where I think I really honed in on, you know, how important client experience is and the experiences that we have every day. So I don't want to say I've mastered that, but that is like an area where I have just become so obsessed with it and constantly analyzing how do I make it the best experience possible and memorable experience for our clients, for my teammates, and for people in the industry that I'm collaborating with.
In the interest of full disclosure, mm-hmm. we have worked together.
Yes.
And, you know, I met you during your time at Kantara. That's when I was at Diagra Design. And I have to say that, you know, for years, we always avoided like technology integration, that aspect of design. It just never, we never made a connection. And the moment we began to work with you guys, we immediately knew. And again, it goes back to that fit. I didn't think about this then, but now that we're having this conversation, uh-huh. it was about fit and culture and vision. And again, in full disclosure, we happen to be at Kantara right now doing this interview, and I'm sitting here looking at a beautiful plate with a cup of coffee and a glass of water and two chocolates and some cookies. And, you know, as a design partner sitting here, I'm like, okay, these guys are a fit. We're a fit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the little things, but they're the telltale signs.
Right. And committed to that, you know, memorable experience and valuable experience. And, you know, when I was at Kantara for several years, and then when I made the decision to go to DeGalley Oberfeld, big part of that was because I could see very similar qualities. Mm-hmm. DeGalley Oberfeld is committed to best in class quality, you know, client experience. And, you know, for me, I was very inspired also by the possibilities of what I could do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, some of my very best experiences, interacting with a, GC developer was with DeGalley Oberfeld. So
thank you for saying that. I love to hear that.
I mean it.
I'm
truly
put that on our website.
It's on tape now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the community building aspect, because I feel like right about that time is when some other things occurred and you kind of collaborated and connected with other subcontractors and began to develop this community that really reinforces the value of design.
Yes. Yeah, so there is a group that I have been involved with now for about, 10 years. It was right when I got here, called Estate Partners. And the whole mission behind Estate Partners is to bring fellow craftsmen together for experiences that will enrich multiple aspects of our lives. So, you know, we want to learn from each other and collectively model ethical, inspiring, industry-leading partnerships. And that group is comprised of subcontractors that are, you know, working in the luxury residential space. Again, everyone is committed to the same type of quality experience, and I think has changed a lot of people's mindsets on how to do business, mm-hmm. Has helped lift people up when, you know, challenges like COVID, everybody,
oh my gosh,
you know, nobody really had experienced a pandemic and running a business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was a place where 15 different companies that are all have different dynamics, different types of employees, different, you know, challenges were able to come together and support each other through it and help really come out on the other end of it even stronger.
Right. Let's go pre-COVID and break it down into more simpler terms. What did you see missing from the design community that prompted you to kind of to develop Estate Partners?
I don't know that there was necessarily anything that at the time I was aware of that was missing. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, hey, this is a really amazing opportunity for a bunch of artists that don't necessarily know or want to run a business, but want to be, you know, completely immersed in their art. And so I felt like there was an opportunity for all of us to come together and help each other. So with whether it was business development needs, whether it was helping each other on different projects and job sites, helping each other with recruiting, you know, any of those things where you want to talk with like-minded people, but you don't really know who to talk to or where to go.
Right.
And I think with Estate Partners, what's unique about it is everybody is just in this industry, you know, so we understand what, you know, lovingly I refer to as the circus that we all run every single day.
Yes.
We all understand it.
I call it something else, but circus will do.
it's a three-ring circus oftentimes, but, yeah, Estate Partners is a place where everyone is able to come and help each other and understand each other and talk about, you know, some of those things that maybe you wouldn't go out and talk about with the world.
Right.
And feel safe doing it.
Yeah. It's a community. It's a safe place. And the reason I asked that question, I can certainly relate to it because people ask me all the time, you know, why did you start the podcast? Why have you started Design Biz Survival Guide? And why do you produce events and learning opportunities for designers? What was wrong? What was missing before? Maybe I didn't ask the question correctly, because when someone asks me that question, I kind of say the same thing. Nothing was wrong.
Right.
I just felt like there could be more.
Yeah. Favorite saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Always more.
Yeah. We can always, you know, experience more, find more.
Yeah, we can always do better.
Yes.
And so what are some of the benefits that you've experienced by developing that group? How have you benefited from it, and how have others benefited from it?
You know, for me personally, I think it has really helped me develop some leadership skills. You know, running a group where there's 15 people and everybody's got different things going. You know, I joke around that with everybody that, you know, I feel like I'm herding kittens oftentimes. but it has, I think I've honed in on my leadership style and have learned a lot. And, you know, everyone that attends our meetings, we meet twice a month, are all business owners. And so it has personally been really inspiring for me to sit around a table with people that can become mentors to me. And so that's kind of on a personal level, but, for the group, and I think kind of more like globally, I feel like it has really raised the bar of how people can work together instead of just individuals coming on a job site and depending solely on the superintendent on the job site to be coordinating. So many of us are working on the same job sites that are a part of Estate Partners, and everybody is able to really, I guess, work more efficiently and more effectively because we've developed strong relationships. We trust each other. We work through things together. So the group, it's not just a bunch of individuals running on a job site. Now I feel like it's a cohesive group with the same, you know, vision and commitment to, you know, improving the overall experience.
Right.
And those are really, I guess, both of those are internal things. Mm-hmm. Externally, you know, we started doing events about 5 years ago, where we do a client appreciation dinner and invite the architects, the general contractors, and the interior designers that allow everybody in the group to practice their craft every single day and just say, hey, thanks for the support. Thanks for letting us come and do the work that we do. And that's been fun too, of, you know, being able to say thank you to all of these people, giving back to them. And we do a lot of leadership training where we have a business coach come in and talk with us. So I don't know, I could carry on and on about the things that I take from Estate Partners.
Yeah, but those are such perfect examples, and those are such valuable tools and conversations that that every design professional, every professional in general should be having. And I feel like this community provides that. And, you know, I know you're a small but mighty group, and I think that that community that you've developed, and why I think it's important to talk about it, and why I hope people are listening and this is resonating, is because I feel like it creates kind of a safe space, like I described earlier, to learn about leadership, to learn how to interact with each other and do better, which we talked about a second ago, and to really kind of, you know, be vulnerable and also get some inspiration. There's so many things that you can benefit from by engaging in a group or embracing community.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Natasha, I'm so glad that, you know, we're finally talking about this because, you know, I'm a big fan of community. I mean, it's my entire, this is the foundation of my business. And I so believe in community over competition and all of these things that I feel like what you're doing, you know, promotes. And so I felt like it was important to have this conversation because while it may not be directly about design, it has everything to do with the business of design and business in general and how to just really kind of be, you know, a part of and contribute. And just like you said, going back to what you said, this needs to be fun. You need to be surrounded by people. The amount of time that we invest in what we're doing for a living, and everyone always says, you know, if you love what you do, you know, for a living, you'll never work a day in your life. And especially we as creatives, we're so blessed to do something that we're truly passionate about for a living as a career. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still need this community. We still need the support around us because it can get a little lonely sometimes, you know? And so I love the fact that our community is embracing that whole, like, you know, hey, let's work together and let's help each other sort of thing.
Yeah. Power of team.
Completely, completely power of team. So, you know, we've got some signature questions here at the podcast and I want to start with your secret to survival. So what would you say big picture is your secret to survival in general?
Ask a lot of questions and always continue to be curious. You know, our industry is constantly evolving. There's so many opportunities to create better design, do things different, do things better. So just constantly be asking questions. You know, I mean, I think I ask questions all day, every day.
Right.
And it is, you know, truly, I believe, the key to surviving.
I have to agree. I have to agree. And I think that that stems from culture, you know, kind of the culture that you were describing earlier in the conversation about, you know, kind of creating that space and, you know, not only asking people what inspires them and what fuels them and what motivates them, but also kind of creating an environment where people can ask questions.
Right.
And, you know, and not be fearful of being judged or whatever,
or
you know,
stupid or like you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. I trust my team implicitly and I know that I can ask them anything. I mean, I remember growing up, I don't know if you remember this, the campaign that was always on TV, The More You Know.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. The more you know,
oh my gosh,
the, you know, more confident you are going to carry yourself, the better you're going to feel that of things you have to offer, you know, and through the, you know, never ending questions I have asked, I think that has also helped to lead me into what my zone of genius is, you know, of understanding a lot of things and realizing more and more about myself that, hey, this is my zone, this is my lane, and this is where I can be most successful.
Yep. Yep. And that's a journey. And I can guarantee you, anyone who's listening, if you create that space where people can ask questions and not be fearful of that, you've created a space, you've achieved retention.
Yes.
You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
You know? And what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wished you knew then? And you can go back as far as you want.
You know, I think when I was a little bit younger, I was constantly worried about what the perception was of me. And instead of taking everything in and taking a moment to be like, wow, that is, you know, an incredible piece of art, or wow, this person is so interesting, you know, just stop for a moment and take it in instead of constantly worrying about what the next step is going to be or what the next thing I need to be doing or the next meeting I need to be at. Just be present and take it in as it comes to you, because there's always something to be learned in, you know, that moment that maybe previously or when I was younger, I was too busy flying through it and kind of checking the boxes versus, you know, fully like engaging and taking things from you know, every aspect that I could.
Right. Being in the moment.
Yes.
Being in the moment. And I think the farther we get in our careers and the more integrated we get into business, you know, we are pulled a dozen different directions, and we should constantly remind ourselves to really just kind of take a deep breath.
Yes.
Be in the moment, especially if you're surrounded by an amazing group of people, you know, just slow down.
Slow down, take a breath, and take it all in.
For sure. For sure. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community? And I feel like we've just been talking about that for 30 minutes, but you know, let's go ahead and elaborate.
Elaborate a little bit more. You know, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think I'm a pretty approachable person. So I always try and make sure that everyone feels comfortable, you know, coming to me and asking questions. If I want to be able to ask questions of others, I want to be putting out there that I'm somebody they can come and ask questions to. So, as far as paying it forward, I try to be approachable. I think mentoring younger people or people who are new to the industry, helping them navigate through things, passing along kind of like some words of wisdom or things that I've learned along the way. I love connecting people and helping them to see what's possible. So, you know, I don't know that there is some huge life-changing thing that I'm doing to pay it forward in our industry, but I think each day I make sure I do one small thing to help somebody else.
Right. Right. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, I wish, I just wrote down while you were speaking that I wish there was a major in college called leadership and community building. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like that. And going back to like how you got here, like there was no major in college for leadership and community building. So your journey obviously led you here. And then I think that your interaction with this community that you've built is kind of sharing that and making other people want to emulate that, because you know, you're definitely approachable. When we first met, I just saw leader. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, how can I be that? And you made it very easy to approach you and ask you, what are you doing? And, and how do I do that? You know, how can I be a part of that? There were a lot of things that led to me, you know, transitioning from one sector of the design industry to another. And, you know, I would definitely say engaging with you is one of them. Just seeing that you can be a part of this amazing design industry and exercise your passion for architecture and design and not necessarily be on the computer doing CAD or all of those things. You know, there is such a broad opportunity within the design industry for people to kind of exercise their talents. And you helped show me that. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. That's very sweet of you to say. I'm glad that you have experienced that with me.
Absolutely. And now I feel like all of our listeners have as well. So I'm super glad that we had this conversation. You know what? Go ahead and tell us how to find Dugally Oberfeld on the internet so they can learn a little bit about the company and what you all do and begin to kind of dig in and kind of see your culture.
Yes.
And kind of, you know, begin to understand that.
Perfect. So our website is www.docorp.net. And then like everybody else in the world, we are in social media.
Of course.
So, you can find us on Instagram at just Dugally Oberfeld and, get a little bit, you know, more information about who we are, what we do, why we do it. In that location as well.
Awesome. Well, they already know this, but they've got a winner on their team and you're doing an outstanding job. And so, yeah, I encourage everyone to check out the website. You guys do incredible work. I mean, that's a whole other podcast, a whole other conversation. We've had Matt on the podcast before, and I think that we should at some point revisit that and maybe even bring Mauricio into the mix to talk more about the incredible work that you do. But I appreciate you taking the time today to kind of stray, you know, take off your construction hat for a moment and talk to us about community and leadership and culture, because I think it's so valuable. So thank you.
Well, I loved it. Thank you for having me.
I hope that this conversation with Natasha Hogan has inspired you to tap into your inner leader and begin to develop your dream team of associates, vendors, and allies. In every group of creatives, there's always a community builder. That person may be you. I challenge you to own your business ethos and promote it to the people you surround yourself with. Seeking and surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals is the first step in building a community. When your team and partners are all in alignment, the possibilities are endless. Thank you, Natasha, for sharing your journey of leadership, community, and culture with us. Speaking of community, we have a big announcement. Design Biz Retreat 2022 is coming to Orange County, California. We're fine-tuning the agenda right now, and I assure you, you won't want to miss it. Topics will include selling luxury, the client experience, generating referrals, partnering with custom home builders, and the state of the luxury market. Save the date, October 20th and 21st. Registration details will be announced soon. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide. If you love this episode, take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram. And if you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. It really helps us become more visible on the platform to design professionals just like you. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.